Hey everybody, Pastor Mike here. Welcome back to the SGT Podcast. Today we have Pastor Matt Pastor, the worship pastor here at Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle, come on to talk about the activated believer. I know you guys are going to be blessed, so let's tune in and hear what he had to say. Hey everybody, Pastor Michael Sinclair here. Welcome back to the SGT Podcast. We're super excited to have you back, and we're glad to invite back to the show Pastor Matt Pastor, who is the worship pastor here at Smithtown Gospel Tabernacle. How you doing today, bud?
Good. Hi, everybody.
It's always fun because during the whole quarantine thing, you just came over to my basement and we would just do the podcast there. But now we're actually back here at the church.
Yes.
New environment. Feels a little more official.
Right.
Certainly does. These little covers here on the microphone. All right, Pastor Matt, we have been talking, you and I, quite a bit in the past few months about the activated believer and how somebody who's following Christ and is activated in following him, there's a difference about them. There's an aura, there's a spiritiness about them that's different than somebody who just shows up and follows the Lord, you know, because they go to church every Sunday. That's their routine. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to give you some opportunity today to just talk about what it is that an activated believer shows in their life and why that's important. So please, yeah, share with us.
Well, first off, I'll say really honestly, with all due respect, this should probably be the other way around, in the sense that we should be asking you these questions, because living next door to you, I see firsthand that I'm not sure there's a minute of the day that goes by that you're not ministering to somebody, having somebody over
your
house.
Don't make me blush, buddy. Don't do it.
It's the truth, man. You're like Mr. Activation, Mr. Mobilization. So
I say the same for you, my friend.
Yeah, so I'm looking to learn during this more than I am to talk, but... I think the activated believer is something that's just really important right now. I think it's on God's heart right now that people would begin to feel the commission that's on their life to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And I think there's sort of a way that's very easy, especially I think in America. It's tough for a believer to go through the religious process and come out activated. It's almost something you have to fight for on your own, because it almost is a process that, on a large scale, deactivates people. Hmm. There's something about the nature of coming and being a spectator, so to say, in different ministries or different events that tend to sort of do the opposite.
That consumerism versus activation.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's despite the very best efforts of church leaders, who are trying their very best to activate folks and to give them the tools that they need. But just the nature of it is one that Americans have to fight hard individually to make sure that they're staying activated by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But just that whole concept, like you said, of somebody who, I mean, we all know people who just, you start speaking to them and you're like, oh, I'm going to have a God moment right now.
Yeah.
Because there's just something they carry. I think it's an engagement. You know, there's definitely engaging. That word is all mixed up in this, where somebody just takes every opportunity to just say, Holy Spirit, I'm aware of you. I'm aware of the people around me. So I think it's then that we start thinking in terms of, Lord, I want to be the light you've asked me to be. I want to be the salt you've asked me to be. I want to stay aware of people. I want to stay aware of you. I want to stay aware of your spirit. I think there's a great analogy I heard once where somebody said, do you like football? Would you like football if all they did was huddle?
That's a great question.
You know, if all they did was huddle, would you like football? And I think sometimes we fail to recognize that church is a huddle, which is so important. You've never seen a football team not huddle.
Yeah.
But the game is in the secret place and the marketplace. Mm. And being able to just say, Lord, I'm going to be engaged in those two places.
Amen.
And I'm coming to the huddle to get equipped on how to do that really well.
Amen.
No.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that's great about a huddle is they're coming in with the plan. The quarterback's coming in with the plan. But then the guy gets the opportunity to say, hey, I don't know if you noticed this about the guy that's guarding me, but just a heads up. When we all gather together like that, we get to share testimonies of what the Lord's been doing in our life all week. We get to share, hey, I don't know if you guys are aware, but this is something that's really going on. We all need to pay attention to. And we get to bless the Lord by worshiping with it. You know, one of the things I love the most as a worship pastor, you know this, We worship the Lord, you know, in our closets, and we spend that time with him alone. But when we praise him together, it says he sings, he dances over the praises of his people. Mm. You know, it's a beautiful thing to do. That huddle's important. It's not just a, hey, check the box, I was in the huddle. If you're not paying attention to what's happening, you're not ready for the game.
That's right.
So that's a great analogy. Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So it's that huge emphasis on the importance, not only of any of those three, but all of those three.
Yeah.
Is really important. So yeah. Awesome. And I think right now, you know, that's a topic we could talk about forever, you know.
Right.
Specifically right now, the Lord's been putting on my heart just the idea, if we're talking in terms of how do we do this, what's some practical steps to begin
for the activated believer.
Right.
And before you go, I just want to say too, to your point before about when you're talking to somebody, you could just tell they're activated.
Yeah.
You could be talking about the weather.
Yes.
But when you're talking to an activated believer, them talking about the weather sounds like Jesus talking about the weather.
It's so true.
And you know, people listening right now, you have spoken to people like that. You know activated believers in your life. And when you talk to them, it just feels like home.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what you're talking about. It feels like they know the Lord and he's speaking to you through what they're saying. Yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. So yeah, how do we get there, Pastor Matt?
And honestly, just to piggyback off that, I think it's an important distinction to make, to say it's not necessarily a message about the social gospel. In other words, get out there and start doing stuff. You know, that's not necessarily what we mean by activation. Right. Obviously, you know, like James says, your faith is going to be shown in your works. So that's an important piece of it.
Yes.
But when we're talking activation, we're really talking, or I'm really talking about when the Holy Spirit begins to start a process in you, mm-hmm. and you don't change the subject or turn the channel.
Amen.
Until he is done doing what he's trying to do in you.
Awesome.
I think when we decide we're going to be aware of what he's trying to bring to life in us, as well as aware of what he's trying to kill in us, it helps us stay activated. So I'm just saying, since there's 1,000 ways, you know, we could talk about the activated believer, what I feel like the Lord is saying.
And
recently,
we'll bring you back on.
Okay.
We're going to talk more about this is going to be episode 1 of the activated believer.
Oh,
so,
I love it.
So yeah, don't feel like you need to rush them all in.
Well, okay.
Let's start wading in slowly here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think honestly for right now, I feel like a recognition and a proper understanding of the battles in our lives is going to help stay activated. I think battles are, we don't realize sometimes that they're a part of Christianity. We know they're a part of life, and we believe Christianity is a way to deal with battles of life.
Especially now, in this time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But what we don't realize is you're actually signing up for battles by signing up for Christianity.
Amen.
It's not a way to deal with life battles. It's a purposeful engagement in more battles than just life battles.
Amen.
And I think one of the coolest verses there is Matthew, in Matthew 16. That's when Peter says that Jesus is the Messiah, basically. And Jesus says, on this rock, first he says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, my Father did. But on this rock, this revelation that you just spoke of, he says, I am going to build my church. So that's the first thing we see, is that Jesus Christ himself is building this church. And he describes it this way. The church he's building looks like this. He said, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it.
Amen.
In other words, there's going to be a moment where in our lives, maybe if we fight to see it in life, we're going to see it in life. Maybe it'll be after, you know, but we're going to culminate somehow our career as Christian warriors with the idea that hell will have been pushed so far back out of earth, out of our lives, that they're actually now where they came from, hiding behind their walls, praying to no one that the walls will hold up.
Mm.
And Jesus says they won't.
Amen.
The oncoming church, it will not hold up. So that means our culmination as warriors will be actually raiding hell and taking back what the enemy stole. I love that song. I went to the enemy's camp. You know that one?
No.
And I took back what he stole from me. Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
Nice.
It's an oldie but a goodie. But that's the culmination of our warrior career. What would be weird is if we pursue a strategy right now in which we try to pray ourselves out of every battle from now till then.
Hmm.
If we are going to become warriors that culminate with raiding hell and taking back everything that's ever been stolen, we have got to recognize that there are battles we've actually been meant to be in.
Yeah. Amen. And I think, too, that sometimes when people read that verse, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. As a kid, I think I did this, they read it in reverse.
Yeah.
They think that the gates of hell are going to open and come at us. And what we have to do is stand strong, be immovable.
Yes.
We're not going to be budged. That's not what it's saying. Mm. The gates of hell will not prevail. While they're being attacked by God's people,
right,
they will fall down. That's very different.
Yes.
And you think about how the church is responding in this time with COVID, with politics, with the world the way it is.
Yeah.
A lot of Christians are saying, I'm just going to stand my ground here, and you know, we're not going to let hell come against us. Well, no, what you're talking about is somebody who kind of laughs in the face of death and goes, hey, we got a job to do, and you're in the way.
Yes.
And there's a whole host alongside them. They're brothers and sisters. And that picture is so very different than just standing firm.
Yes.
There are verses about standing firm, sure.
Right, right.
But this particular verse really highlights the warrior mindset of the believer spiritually.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And honestly, there are people walking through some real difficult stuff in which they'd say, man, laughing is not one of my options right now.
Mm.
But man, we do know that the Lord laughs at his enemies. The
That's
Bible
right.
tells us that. And so there's this place you can get in where you say, okay, the end of this, I can read the end. I know how this ends.
Yes.
And so the Lord's going to bring you only into battles that that he's equipped you for, if we can stay activated. So so that's all I just wanted to mention about battles. I think it's something we've got to recognize as an ongoing theme. I love this church particularly because, you know, we're trying to advance. That's that third piece, right? We're trying to love, connect, and advance because we're a family, a team, and an army. And I think that piece can sometimes, especially nowadays, get forgotten as though we're not in a battle. But the truth is we are. You know, I can't imagine being Peter sitting there and having Jesus, like the king of the universe, say, I spoke to the prince of darkness today about you. You came up.
Wow.
And he said, he was asking me earnestly, sincerely, if he could sift you like wheat. And Peter, you know, doesn't say this, but I like to use my imagination to think him saying, you know, I'm not really a fisherman. You know, I'm a farmer. So what does that mean, sifting of wheat? Well, he wants to throw you on the ground and beat you and trample you. And then,
other way around. I'm not a farmer. I am a fisherman.
Sorry. Yes. I'm not a farmer. I'm a fisherman.
For all of you.
So what does that look like?
We have some good listening ears in this podcast. Want to make sure that they,
right, got that
they
right.
know that we know the difference.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not a farmer. I don't know how this works. What does it mean to do that to wheat? And basically it's the idea that they would throw it against the ground. They would trample it. They would beat it. They would hurl it into the air and let it slam against the ground until parts of it were coming loose. And then they would shake it so violently that parts of them would fly off. And so basically he's saying, that's what I want to do to Peter. And if I was Peter, my first question would be like, so what did you tell him?
So what did you say?
What did you say? And Jesus here basically says, well, let's just say, Pete, I am praying that your faith holds out.
Wow. Yep.
Because we were actually born for battles. You know, and I'm not sure if for every battle, the strategy is to try to pray our way out of it, especially if the church Jesus is building is the one that raids hell.
It doesn't mean don't pray. You're
of
just
course.
Saying don't pray that everything passes.
Right. There are some battles, I think, that we are meant to fight. And so we pray for strategy rather than escape.
Yeah.
And so I think it's obviously important to lean on the Holy Spirit for which kind of battle it is. And there are different kinds of battles.
And there's battles like what Jesus prayed when he went to the cross. He said, I pray this cup would pass, but not my will but yours. And what he needed in that hour was strength
right.
to take it on the chin, basically.
Right.
You know? Like
right.
He was going in knowing it was going to be a rough one.
Yes.
But he went anyway.
Yeah.
And there are many Christians, even today, who are asked to walk into those battles where they don't walk out, you know, but his church is faithful. So we don't know what kind of battles we're walking into.
Yeah.
Many times we're needing strategy. Sometimes we're needing strength. Very rarely do we just get it to go away.
Yes.
But that's what a lot of people pray for.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. And I think if we learn strategies to make it through battles, we come out the other side with victories and not just casualties, you know.
Amen.
So I think that's the first point, is just to recognize that you're in a battle. You know, it's very dangerous to not be in a battle. I had a buddy in a previous season who grew up in a real bad neighborhood. And he used to say, you know, my neighborhood's bad because if you're in a fight on the street and you get knocked out, the fight's not over. You're just losing really, really bad.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think that's the case with the church. If we decide not to engage in the battles we're supposed to engage in, we don't just skip the battle. The battle's not over. We're right. just losing.
Yeah.
So first, just recognizing, and there's a million scriptures, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, these are things that, you know, have to be at the forefront of our mind, especially in these days.
This is all battle language.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think there's just three things we can learn, and this is what just the last piece I wanted to share, is just three things we can learn from the life of David.
We love takeaways.
Takeaway.
Let's do some takeaways.
Yeah, yeah. Three things from the life of David.
Who was a warrior.
He was a warrior.
Yeah.
He was also a worshiper.
He was a worshiper.
I had to get that in.
Yeah, yeah, I did.
Yes.
He started as a worshiper.
Right.
That may very have well been the thing that equipped him to be the greatest warrior.
That's it. Because he understood powers and principalities.
That's right.
Yeah. So there's three different kinds of battles we sort of see David in. The first one is the lion and the bear.
Mm.
And this is basically when he loves the Lord. He's young, right? So he's young, and perhaps even young in the Lord. And he is minding his own business. And this bear comes up on him. This lion comes up on him. And we know that he takes them both out.
Yeah.
Now, his account of this story is the Lord delivered me from the lion and from the bear. So we know that he was not feeling confident in this moment.
Sure.
He knew that if the only way this is going to work is if the Lord shows up. So here we have this kid who's fighting this lion and this bear and going, Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to help me. I need you to get me out of this. And of course, the Lord shows up and he says, delivers him from the lion and delivers him from the bear. So those exist.
Yeah.
You know, those exist. But the second battle is very different because
this is point number two. Now.
This is point number two. It's very different, this battle, because he is bringing bread and cheese to his brothers on the battlefield. Yep. And there's Goliath.
Like you said before, you say he was bringing pizza to his brothers.
Yeah, that's right. Pizza. That's bread and cheese, right? And so he's bringing that. And then he hears Goliath saying these things about his God. And now he's not minding his own business anymore.
Yeah.
He's leaving his business now to say, wait a minute, what did you say? Mm. He's deciding, wait a minute, I've learned the principle from the last season that God is with me in battle.
Amen.
And now I am entering into a battle on purpose for the sake of my passion that I have for the Lord. I am deciding this giant should not continue to exist. And so I am purposely getting in on this battle.
Special note here, For all those who are quickly saying amen, and you're the kind of person who looks for battles, special theological note, David wasn't looking for this battle.
Mm.
He showed up, and his people were being attacked, and nobody had the courage to stand up. And he went in there confident, knowing from the last season that God would be with him. But he wasn't looking for the battle.
Yes.
He just did not shy away when the battle came, like the rest of his people.
That's right. You don't go demon hunting.
Yeah, or you know... Thanksgiving with your family, go, you're not a real believer. You're not a real believer. And I know you're a sinner. And then the family's like, I don't think, no, I'm David. You know, don't know. That's not the point here.
Right.
When it came, he was ready. And right. He had the confidence to know that God had been with him in the last season. He would be with him in this season.
That's right. You go about God's business, and anything that gets in the way is what you address.
That's right.
Absolutely. So you have that battle. And man, that's where we really see great exploits happen.
Mm.
That's when we decide I'm not okay with the drug abuse on Long Island.
Yes.
I'm not okay with orphans existing on Long Island.
Yep.
Yes, those big battles. But it's also when you go, I'm not okay with pride existing in my life.
Yep.
I'm not okay with jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a giant that I am willing to tolerate. I am entering into this battle right now. It's going to be hard. But I'm going to enter into this battle on purpose because this giant should not exist in my life. It's a passion for Jesus that's driving me into a battle I could avoid, but I'm not actually avoiding it. It's just beating me. It's just me becoming a victim.
Or, you know, in another, maybe something that might be a little more tangible for people is, I'm not comfortable with my wife crying herself to sleep anymore, or my kids ignoring me anymore, or my neighbors not having the opportunity to hear the Lord anymore because I don't have any time for them, you know, or that sin. And you know what it is right now, listener, like that sin that the Lord's bringing to mind, that's still there. It's still not gone. All of those are Goliaths in your life.
Yeah.
And the Lord is going to be with you through each and every one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm angry. I'm angry all the time.
Yeah.
It's not okay anymore.
Right.
You know? And so, and honestly, we allow the Lord to kind of put his finger, like you said, you know, it's you're going about the Lord's business and something comes up. And right. I think the Lord is so gracious to bring things up and say, hey, I'm putting my finger on this right now. Let's go ahead and address it. Let's not change the subject. Let's not change the channel. Let's stay right here.
Amen.
And work through the difficult battle of getting on the other side of this.
Amen.
But then there's the third battle. This is the third point.
Oh, just FYI, for those who don't know the story, he won that battle. He beat Goliath.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
David
beat Goliath.
Big deal. Big deal. We still talk about it today.
Yep. But that third one is the battle that takes place on his roof. The battle that takes place with his eyes, and he loses that battle. But that story starts with 9 crazy words.
Real quick.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy to leave it off right there.
I want the cliffhanger. Okay. I love cliffhangers.
Okay. Go.
Give people who might not know this story, though.
Okay, so
just
this is
quick
David.
Quick snapshot before we're going to leave everybody else with a cliffhanger for a second.
Right.
Quick snapshot. What are we talking about?
So this is David. He's on his roof. He sees Bathsheba and he lusts after her. He sends for her and mess ensues.
Yes.
He basically, she's married already.
Yep.
He doesn't care. So they spend the night. She ends up pregnant. He's got to figure out what to do. He has the husband come home from war, who's a noble, amazing warrior on the field right now fighting for David.
Yep.
It's a terrible story.
Yep.
He's fighting for David, calls him home. He says, listen, take a night off, be with your wife.
He tries to cover his sin.
Right, trying to say, okay, if he can be with his wife, nobody will know that it's me that has impregnated her.
Right.
But he's so noble. He says, "I while my other men, my friends are fighting, I can't do this while they're doing that.
Right.
So now David has to do plan two. He sends him to the front of the battle by giving him a note to give to his superior, the note saying, put him on the front of the battle and pull everyone else back. So he gets killed, naturally. David takes his wife, trying to cover his sin, and the prophet comes and calls him out and says, you might have hid this from men, but you didn't hide it from God.
Amen.
And of course, that baby, his life hangs in the balance. David is absolutely heart-wrenching, upset, laying in sackcloth and ashes, tearing his clothes, and the baby dies.
Yeah.
So the whole situation is just terrible, terrible mess.
It's not the only mark against David as a man. There are many. And one of the beautiful things about David is it shows us that God can use a mess for his glory.
Yes.
But it is one of the most memorable marks against his character is the story of David and Bathsheba.
Right.
And now, a little slight drum roll for all those who are waiting for the cliffhanger.
Right.
How does that story begin, Pastor Matt?
That story begins with these words. At the time when kings go off to war. At the time when kings go off to war, David is on his roof.
This warrior.
Yes, is chilling.
Yeah.
Somehow David went back to minding his own business. Somehow he reverted from battles of passion, battles where you love Jesus and you want to see his kingdom go forward and you want to see his rule and reign in your own life. He relaxed from that.
He retired.
That's right. From the battles that the Lord has anointed him for. At the time when kings are meant to be off to war. Now, we are a royal priesthood, right?
Amen.
We are kings. He is the king of kings.
Amen.
That's us, right? He's the king. We're the kings that he's the king of.
Mm.
And so we are meant to be about his business. We're meant to be engaging in the battles that he's designed for us right now. But what happens is if we retire or we find ourselves at time when we're supposed to be in battle, in the ones that he has anointed us to win, if we are not engaging in those and we are chilling on the roof, What ends up happening is we become subject to battles we were never meant to be in and don't have an anointing to win.
Wow.
And so it's really important for us to make sure that we stay very passionate about Jesus, that we make sure we are spending active time with him. Active time means I'm reading the word, but the Holy Spirit is reading it with me.
Amen.
Time in worship, but not just me-it relationships, but me-you relationship, when I am actively leaving room for him to be a part of the encounter, where I'm saying, I want to be close to you that you might say what you want to say or do what you want to do. But being able to be really close to him so we know the battles he's asking us to be a part of, so that we don't sort of relax into a place where suddenly we find ourselves in trouble because we're facing battles we were never anointed to be in.
Mm, amen. And that's, you know, I think we keep saying that every podcast with every guest, everybody who comes on says the most important thing you could do right now is to spend that time with the Lord.
Mm.
Allow him to speak to your heart. Allow him to change you from the inside. Allow him to remind you who you are. But what I love about today is that you're reminding the church that we are warriors. Mm. And we are not warriors waiting for a battle. There are battles raging all around us right now that we need to wage.
Yeah.
And some of us are retired and sitting back. Some of us are confidently approaching it, knowing that God's going to give us the victory. And some of us, maybe new believers, are seeing these things for the first time.
Yeah.
And you're saying, church, don't worry. God's always had it. He still has it.
Yes.
Let's get back to knowing who he is and allowing him to activate us.
That's it.
And it's so important.
Yeah.
It's so important.
So important. Can I give a takeaway quick as one thing that we can do practically?
Well, let's ask the listeners, what do you guys think? They said yes.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah. That's funny. I didn't even hear anything.
Oh, yeah. They only talked to me.
Oh, I see. So here's what I'm going to challenge you with. Just something to sort of begin to say, okay, I'm going to engage in this. Mm-hmm. I'm not just going to sort of turn to Christianity to help me fight life battles. I'm going to engage in a Christian battle.
Right.
And here's the first one for you that I think is so important. As believers, we're supposed to pick up our Bible. We're supposed to read it. We're supposed to believe it. We're supposed to live it. We're supposed to see it.
Mm.
In other words, I'm going to read that the sick are going to recover. Then I'm supposed to believe, which is work. That's a battle. It's a battle to read it. It's a battle to believe it.
Yeah.
Then it's a battle to live it, where you go, okay, I'm going to actually pray for the sick because the Bible says that I can see them recover. So I'm going to pray for the sick.
Yeah, pray for them to be healed, not just pray for them to find comfort. Like, right. Actually believe that they can be healed.
That's right. If you're going to read that they can recover, and then you're going to believe that they can recover, you now have to pray that they'll recover. And then the last piece is a battle again, which is to see it.
Mm.
Because you can also settle right there in living it and be very comfortable with the discipline of praying for people without fighting to see the sick recover.
Yeah.
Fighting the spiritual battles, going back to the Lord and saying, God, I prayed and it didn't work. Give me the principles, like the disciples did. They went to Jesus, said, we prayed, it didn't work. He said, okay, here's some principles for you. The Holy Spirit's willing to walk you through how to see what he said we would see.
Amen.
But that's the order. You read it, you believe it, you live it, you see it. So find something in the word that he's stirring in your heart. Choose to read it. Choose to believe it, choose to live it, choose to see it. Because here's the sad piece. If you don't go as far as to try to battle to see it, if you give up on that battle, you don't just retire. It becomes a battle just to live it.
Right.
And if you don't engage in that battle to live it, you don't get to retire. The battle, the enemy advances. Now it's going to be a battle just to believe it. And if you don't engage in that battle, it's going to be a battle just to read it. And you all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You've gotten in places in your life where you can't even read it anymore. It's a battle just to pick up the book. I'm saying we've got to move from discipline into passion. We never progress past discipline. but you add to your discipline. Passion, that's how you move forward. When you read things like, "Can a nation be saved in a day?" it's supposed to get you fired up.
Amen.
When you read things like, "These signs will follow those who believe," or "Train up a child in the way they should go and they won't depart from it," or "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
Indeed,"
or "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." Those are things you're not just supposed to read. You're supposed to actively fight the battle to believe it, fight the battle to live it, fight the battle to see it with your own eyes, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Amen. Amen. Which is, and that last, what I love about that is that that last, I believe it was Psalm either 27 or 127, where, or maybe it's 72. I don't know. I got to double check it. But that was a Psalm of David. That I would have despaired unless I would have believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
Most of you listening have not walked through the hardships that King David had to walk through, but because of his willingness to believe and to live it out and to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, he did amazing things.
Yeah.
God did amazing things through him, and he's still doing amazing things in his people.
Yes.
And we want our people to be a part of it.
Yes.
We want them to see it today.
You were made for great exploits.
Amen. Yes, amen. All right, Pastor Matt. Well, I know people are loving this. They love the takeaway. So they're either writing at home crazy or they're typing really fast on their phones. But I want everybody to pause for just a second. And what I would love is for you to just pray over all of us that we might just see this day. Go through all those steps and get to the point where we can see the goodness of the Lord today in the land of the living, and know that we, his people, are advancing his kingdom each and every day as he leads us. Would you lead us now in a prayer to just allow our hearts to be transformed by him?
Absolutely. And officially, next time I get to ask you the questions, we can learn from you.
I'll stop it now. Again with the blushing.
Again with the blushing.
Let's pray.
Oh, Lord, we just thank you, God, that you are the God of angel armies. I thank you, Lord, that you have called us to great exploits. You've called us not just to try to struggle to get out of the red, but you've called us deep into the black. You've called us to go and see amazing things happen.
Yes, Lord.
You've promised amazing things. You've promised greater things we would see. And so, Lord, we want to engage in those battles. We want to be sure, God, that we are actively seeking you, actively seeking your counsel, seeking that which you're trying to do in our lives. We want to make sure we're leaving room for you to move in our lives, God. We want to recognize that you've got desires for us. We want to find them out. We want to search for you, God, with all of our heart and find you daily, that you might lead us, God, in those things which you've called us to. Father, I pray for an ignition of passion. Father, I pray for fire of God to land again on our hearts, that we might desire to see your kingdom come and your will be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Matt, as always, you always bring the fire. I know the Lord is doing some amazing things in your life, and we are honored to have you today. We look forward to talking again about the activated believer and the next thing that the Lord wants us to learn is his church. So thank you so much, and we look forward to having you come back next time.
Thank you so much.
You're definitely coming back, buddy. We're having you back.
Awesome.
All right. God bless. Other than being my neighbor and just a fun all-around guy, Pastor Matt really is a man whose heart and life and ministry are completely devoted to the Lord. I know that that was a very poignant message and a very timely message for many of us listening today. There are battles that come at us. There are battles that we know we have to enter into. We're surrounded by them. And a lot of times we get focused on just ourselves, but there are battles that we as a church have to fight together. So I really hope and pray today that you take the time to listen and remember the things that Pastor Matt shared with us today. If you have to, go back and listen to it again, because that was so good. And take some time to ask the Lord, "Lord, here's my life. What do you want me to do with it today? Help me, Lord, to see what you're doing, that I might see your goodness today and be a part of advancing your kingdom in my world." We love you guys. Look forward to seeing you next week. And as always, be blessed, be a blessing, and have a great day.